February Administration Committee meeting to order. I'll ask Gary to lead us in the pledge, please.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we need a motion to approve the minutes from the January meeting.
So moved, Hilda.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, there's a correction.
Oh, I can't hear her.
Oh, I didn't turn on the microphone. Sorry.
She said it was a typo on the minutes.
Well, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it is in the Finance Committee minutes because it was something with Nate Alderman and his name was spelled correctly in one spot. Oh, no, wait, there it is. Page 6, paragraph 5. It says Mr. Alderson stated this individual is very qualified. I assumed it should be Alderman.
So motion is as corrected.
Yes. And there's another one as well. It says Mrs. Hsu at the beginning, not Mr. Hsu.
Ooh. Well,
at that moment,
so
whatever you want to be,
that's right.
Yeah,
identify that day as a missus.
Just at that moment,
which I have the right to do. So, with those two corrections, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. I assume there's no grievances, Nate. Moving on to Wendy.
Up here.
With a mic. Okay, I'm here today to request county authorization to participate. For the county to participate in an appraisal for tax certiorari in the town of Caton with Corning Natural Gas. This has been ongoing. We have a estimate on the appraisal to start with is $49.50 plus there could be an additional $2,500 total. So I would, and the county share would be approximately 15%. So I would say maybe up to $7,500 appraisal cost approval.
We'd be responsible for 15%. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Any questions for Wendy? Carol?
Well, would cover the entire property and all the inventory. The contention has been in the past with courts in these is the compressor station and the pipelines. And
so this one is a natural gas site that they assessed as though it is fully active, and it is not. It has been shut down. So it's a more costly appraisal than normal because we've had a hard time finding somebody that can assess what closed sites are worth. So it's a little complicated, but that's in a nutshell, what it's about. And it is closed, so the assessment will go significantly down.
It has been reduced a number of times in the past.
Not all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is Andy on?
Yes, I am. Can you folks hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so all I had was the quarterly copy paper bid award. There were two respondents, Contract Paper Group, submitted a bid for $23.70. WB Mason was the other vendor. They submitted a bid for $23.17. That basically represents a 73-cent case reduction from the last quarterly bid. So I would recommend the bid award go to WB Mason for $23.17.
This is Robin. I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any questions for Andy? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you very much.
Tammy.
I think everybody received the, is it on? Everyone received the proposed changes to the administrative code. The first section has to do with the management benefits. As it pertains to leave, we had noted that we weren't really following what was documented, so we decided to change the documentation to support what we've implemented when we implemented NovaTime. The second has to do with volunteer fire persons. Our practice has been to also grant this kind of leave for any type of first response, so we thought we should also document that instead of just firefighting. And the last it has to do with transfers and such within the budget transfers within the budget process. We found over the past year or so that there are certain dollar limits and that weren't defined. We had left off, there was a break between what the committees could approve and what had to go to the full legislature and what Jack and I could approve and what had to come to committee. So we tightened that up to cover kind of more things within the code, because a couple of those did actually happen in the past year.
So have you expanded the dollar amount?
We actually tightened it. If you look over, see, we had, when it had to do with the county road, we had a break. There was nothing that defined between 50 and 100. We had left that off. So we dropped what has to go to the full board back down to 50 for those county road transfers. And I think it was similar. When we were dealing with, I guess it was not, we just didn't define if it was under B, three little I's. We didn't define, in one place we had defined between the same and the other place we had defined between different. So we lumped them all together so that whether it was within the same state defined or different state defined, the dollar values or the accounts that can be approved by just the county manager and the commissioner of finance and or just the committees are the same. So we tightened that language up. And I did throw in this annual recurring budget adjustments bit, because a lot of what I bring to you guys, finance committee, has to do with just rolling those things over. And I just don't know that you really need to see them. Now, if you want to keep seeing them, we can take that bit out. But I thought we could get rid of some of the stuff that has to come to committee that relates to simply setting up the new grant years every year.
Motion?
I'm moved.
Okay. Any other questions for Tammy? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you. You're up, Nate.
Good morning. I have one relatively easy one, I think, today. Asking to transfer and fund a zero-based senior typist position in my office.
to the risk manager's office, and this is due to an impending retirement. We need to be able to train someone with the outgoing individual. So this is kind of a temporary thing. So at the time that the individual retires, we transfer a vacant position back to my office and defund it. But we just need it for that period of time for training purposes.
Is that stated somewheres?
What's that?
That it goes back to the original?
No, not at this point, but I mean,
we'll do it. I mean, the minutes would reflect it, and Nate and I are the ones that have to sign it. So,
I mean, I don't have any intent to use it, you know, right now, but you never know with all the stuff coming down, we may need it at some point. So I'd like to keep it there, but it's very important in Scott's office to, you know, to have that training piece and that continuity. So that's why we're doing
it. How long will the person train?
We're guessing 3-ish months.
Yeah, I would say that.
You know, in that neighborhood anyway. I mean, it's there's no set date, but it's, I mean, it's a certainty with the retirement, we believe. So
they're already a candidate?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
Likely a list we keep a good list for. So it'll probably be a, you know, a normal rule of three situation.
Will the new person get a chair? Because the current one stands all day.
We'll put Aaron in charge of getting them a chair.
So we need a motion.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Second. Any other questions for Nate? Where's Scott?
So could I just ask, so as far as the dollar amount to cover this, I'm assuming it's not in the budget at this point. So this is an additional expense we're setting out there.
It's an additional expense, but we still hold a number of vacant positions. So in the overall vacancies, we're able to float that amount. So we don't need to do a budget transfer.
When this thing reverts back, could we just be notified that that's happened?
Absolutely.
I'm also sure there's a salary differential between the person retiring and the person taking the spot.
Yeah.
Which would probably make up.
Yeah. It'll be a little bit, I would guess, at least. It just depends upon who the successful candidate, because if they're a very senior person in that position, it might not be, I guess, a few $1,000s pretty easily.
Likely, unless we get a transfer from some, you know, another department where they're already up there. Mm-hmm. But if and somebody coming into that job or being promoted to it, yeah, there'd definitely be a money savings there.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you much.
Next we have Mrs. Kochmer.
Mine's quick. The DA contacted me after we passed those ethics resolutions and let me know that he sometimes has forfeiture items in the surplus tax auction. And I said, oh, okay. So he would like his people, his office, eliminated from being able to purchase out of that auction as well. So we would just need to amend the resolution.
Every staff member?
Yeah, his entire office.
I'll move it.
Motion.
Only question I have is, does that mean that they may not be in the tax auction either?
No, this is specifically just the county's surplus property.
Okay.
So what are we doing? We're allowing his staff in office to...
No, we're
disallowing.
Okay.
Because their office has the forfeited items that go into that sale, so they can't be bidding on them.
So where would property go? If they had forfeit property, where would that go?
Oh, no, it would go through the surplus auction. They just couldn't participate.
Bid on anything.
Right, so the staff just can't bid on it.
No, so the property would not go under the tax auction, is what I'm asking.
Well, their forfeitures are like cars and things.
This not is for land equipment.
Yeah. So it doesn't change
property. I denoted them.
No property.
I denoted them separately in the, the resolution. One's the property, the tax auction.
Yes.
And one's the surplus auction.
Which I was just didn't know if there was property that was would come under the forfeiture.
Oh, you mean real property?
Yeah.
John, I don't think they normally.
No, because that's just in rem tax issues. There could be property, I guess, at some point, some weird scenario, but that would still go through the surplus.
Yeah, it would all probably be a separate
property. Question.
I think we still need a second.
Second.
Any other questions?
Yes, Fred Potter, I have a question.
Go ahead, Fred.
I didn't think about this earlier, but with the property tax auction in this ethics law, if there were a family member of a legislator and there was property adjoining them that was up for a tax auction that they were would like to add to their property, this precludes them from doing that, as I understand it.
It's the way it reads in the in our law is, okay, so they can, if they live in your household, if they are a dependent of yours, the intent of it was not allowing them, anybody in your family, to purchase it on your behalf. So it's, and it specifically states that if after 3 years or in the, from the date of purchase to 3 years, if they transferred that property to you, then that would be considered a violation.
So it's just.
That's set by state law too.
Yeah.
That state law floor that we have to stay at says that that's the law and we had to keep that in our local law.
Right.
So it's just family members living in one household. It's, that's excluded from this
because under the resolve, it says employees of the following departments, including their relatives, siblings, spouses, or significant others, are hereby precluded.
Yeah,
it doesn't say that they are cohabitating.
No,
that, yeah, and that's my concern.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the state law says what you're saying, Brenda, mm-hmm. and then that was the base. And then I think traditionally we had said a little higher than the base. Even in the prior ethics, I think, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a little broader than just the household, because I know we've had lease issues from prior legislatures where their brothers or sisters, and those were excluded. You couldn't do that. So I know previously it was similar to what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so even siblings, their own siblings would be prohibited as well. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So no family members?
No family members.
Living in the household or otherwise?
Correct.
Yeah, that seems a little
it
unfair.
Does state it in resolution.
Okay.
That's what Scott was pointing out.
The state ethics says, trying to remember, it's what, 800 of the ethics laws, what we based it off of, and it says family members, and then it defines family members as household, siblings. I think it's pretty broad, my recollection. I'd have to double check it, but I think it's pretty broad because we've always followed that.
And we can't make it less restrictive. We can only make it more restrictive.
And that's for the 3-year period, right? So there are obviously...
What they're trying to keep from happening is somebody buying the property for you and then transferring title to you after the auction. So
we do an end around, have somebody from outside the family buy.
Right. Yeah, he's a straw man. It's not related
third,
to
but
you.
They still, it's still a third party. If there's a third party purchasing for you, if that title's transferred in less than 3 years, then it's a violation.
Even though it's not a family member.
Correct.
Yep. So that actually happened with me. And I went to the finance committee and told them, and I don't know, they gave me some special dispensation, but there was a person in Caton that bought tax parcel, eight acres of tax parcel on Whiskey Creek Road. And then a year later or so ended up going through a divorce And as part of the settlement, he needed to sell that property to come up with cash for the divorce. So I bought it from him. But before I bought it, I came up to the finance committee and told them what it was. And
the chairman.
I mean, as long as there's, you know, the legislature approves that, it's, you know, because it is your ethics law. So if you want to do something like that.
Yeah, you have a motion and second.
Anything else? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Sure. A couple things for you. So the Archive Social upgrade, if you recall, Archive Social is the platform that we utilize to archive social media records and comments. And we actually just received notice from New York State Education that handles the archives that codified that you have to archive these things. The plan that we were under, which was about $2,700, was for 1,000 records a month. And a record is a post, a comment, all those things. And we were averaging 800 or so before COVID. They've been pretty good with us. They've let us float for almost a year now, averaging closer to 5,000 records. But they got to the point where they kind of said, you know, we need to take a look. They didn't move us to the, I guess, premium plan, which was the 5,000 records. They said if we move you to the 3,000 records, knowing that once COVID is largely over, you know, our social media activity will go back closer to normal. So it's an increase of about $2,000. We do, since we're not doing a lot of travel and such, we do have enough flex within our budget to make up for it. So just seeking approval. And again, they've been fair to us.
Will this be just for a year?
Yeah, I hope. Yes. Unless
I didn't mean, I meant COVID. I thought COVID, we were shutting the curve down for 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I hope. I mean, once that happens, it's really the public health messaging that generates all the comments and the posts and everything like that. So, I would expect that, you know, hopefully by the time we budget for next year, that we'd be back down to that regular level.
Hello.
Second.
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Where do these comments come from?
To answer Gary, the public, anyone?
And what are they on?
So when we post on social media, and it's largely Facebook, I mean, many of our departments have Facebook pages, but we do have Instagram, Twitter, you know, the rest. But we make a post and people comment on it.
We have to keep them.
Yep. And sometimes instant message questions and things like that, especially to public health, to our page.
Yeah.
And they are a record. So we have to keep them.
Thank you.
Zelda, you had a question?
Yes. So how do we retrieve this data when we need it?
Call up Archive Social. They are backing it up permanently.
How long do we have to keep the records?
Depends on the record. You know, minimum 3 years. Some of these 7, some indefinitely, depending upon what the record is.
Do we need to, does it cost extra to do the retrieval, or is it just built into the
field? Nope. Built in.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries.
Thank you. We also have Steve Manning on the line. Yes. Steve Manning from Southern Tier Network. So we do have the Fujitsu study that you folks graciously helped fund with STN and the other counties is complete. I will send you a copy of that after. I figured Steve giving you an overview with some context would probably be good, so that then you can dig into the details. Steve's going to give you kind of a high level overview. There is some information in there that is, you know, kind of proprietary, where we're talking about potentially building a network So that's information that obviously we wouldn't want to share in a public forum. So that'll be emailed to you for any questions. But Steve's going to give you an update of the main things, a couple of the grants, and then the Fujitsu study, probably about a 10-minute presentation, and then, you know, answer some questions if you'd like.
Yes, Jack, good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Gotcha.
Okay, thank you. And is the slide deck presenting?
It is.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Good morning again, everyone. Jack, thank you. From our last update, which I believe was in the summer of 2020, we do have more and updated information, new information to share. And what I'd like to do is provide a quick update on some of the current infrastructure build that we are doing. And also, as Jack stated, an overview of the feasibility study that we did, the five counties did with Fujitsu, and as well, the USDA Reconnect grant that we did an overview. We provided that overview in the summer and talk a little bit about current events. So the current infrastructure that we have, STN, is my slide, did that, yep. So still working? Okay. So we have a grant we applied for a year ago through STC, Chelsea staff, and we have received a total amount of $3.2 million from three funding sources, ARC, EDA, which is the Economic Development Agency, federal agency, and New York State's ESD, Empire State Development, to create some ring off of our existing middle mile fiber infrastructure that we have. STN is contributing $600,000 to this roughly 80 miles of build. And here's our current map. This is the roughly 530 miles of STN infrastructure. The color coding it basically identifies the phase of the build. This was the original three county build, the Steuben, Schuyler, Chemung build. That's the blue. The magenta color is Yates County build when Yates County approached us, the STN board, back in 2013-14 timeframe. They had money. They also wanted to build an open access middle mile network. And then the yellow is funding that we receive through New York State to extend this STN infrastructure into Tioga, Broome counties, and going north. You can see where my mouse is, to Ithaca. And a leg over here into Allegheny County, hitting the Alfred University campus. So we made these extensions 530 miles, but you can see in some of these single legs, these points of failure. If there was a break here, for example, the rest of the fiber going north to Ithaca, or a break here in Chemung County heading up to Watkins and Schuyler, we don't have a ring pathway. And what we wanted to do to bolster and make this network more viable and a healthier network is to create some rings. And that's the purpose of the grant itself. So you'll see here, the red lines indicate where we're gonna close the network to make it, like I said, a more robust and healthy network for our current customers, the carriers and service providers that are leasing the fiber, or our enterprise customers, including the counties, the schools, and healthcare. And we have nine of these builds that we're doing, one from Ithaca to Schuyler County, and that'll create a ring here. And basically what this does, if there is a break going from Chemung County to Schuyler County, the customers that we have, they have an option to lease additional fibers and use their electronics to send the signal back around the other way. And we're doing the same thing here from the Yates County and Branchport to Pulteney. And we're going to overlash our existing fiber coming from Hammondsport to Pulteney. It's low count fiber today. I think it's a 12 strand fiber count. So we're going to overlash that with high count, 144, to make it more available and viable. In the long run, it'll do a couple things. It will make it a healthier network and a stronger network for addressing failure points. And we believe that we will have more customers leasing additional fibers to make their network stronger. And some new customers, our salesperson, Jeff Gasper, has reached out to other carriers and service providers. And he has received affirmative that they would like to lease some of the fiber to create diverse pathways off of their infrastructure. So that's one update. And this right now, it's all designed. The pathways are designed. The pole applications are in to the pole owners for approval. And we would expect construction to start sometime summer of 21 and construction to end by December of 22, if all goes well. The other item that we've talked recently, we've had some high level conversations with Jamie Johnson and the Steuben County IDA. And you know, they're involved with many renewable projects in Steuben County. And this whole concept of helping to bring high quality internet services to the unserved addresses, to the residents that don't have any internet service or they have a low quality service. In that vein, Jamie connected us with one of the renewable projects, the Barren Wind project here, just up to Cahokton and then south. So this black line, this encompasses where Barren Wind projected turbines would go. And we're talking with them about synergies. Could we find some synergies that our combined projects could help one another? And again, they're very high level conversations at this point in time. STN and the county, we need to identify, are we going to go forward? Will we provide some type of internet solution for the residents that live in this? This is a 5 mile radius, if you're wondering what the diameter is, 5 mile radius from this point here. So those conversations are happening, and Jamie's been a great help in lining us up with the folks from Barren Wind. So those are some of the current things that with the existing infrastructure of STN. And the next, if there's no questions, I'll move on. The next portion will be, as Jack said, an update on the feasibility study. And again, the purpose of this broadband feasibility study was to address those addresses and those residents that do not have quality internet or have no internet at all. And oftentimes we just label those locations as the unserved or underserved. And, the five counties that participated, Schuyler, Steuben, Chemung, Tioga, and Yates County, all recognize there's an issue and we need to find a way to identify where the issues are, where are these gaps of quality internet service. And then to address the issue, the options could be very costly if we decided to build and operate. The complexity, the cost, the expertise required to do that. And talking together, the five counties formed a coalition with STN and created an intermunicipal agreement and charged STN to coordinate and contract with an organization to do a feasibility study. And we did that. So it's, we had workshops that started in the summer of 2019. We had two workshops that Corning Inc. Sponsored for us, one with Nokia, and then two workshops with Fujitsu. And, you know, we identified the coalition, defined these unserved, underserved addresses. They're thinking towards the future. If we're going to build anything, if we're going to fund any type of builds, Yes?
Yes.
Is there a question?
Nope, don't think so.
Getting some feedback. So, the definition is 100 meg synchronous to the home. That would be the minimum. Any home that did not have 100 meg internet service going to it was identified in the market assessment that Fujitsu did. And Fujitsu was the organization we went with to do this comprehensive, complex study. And STN, we paid 50% of the study, and then each county contributed a share after that. The deliverables were a market assessment, business operational models, and then the technical aspects, the outside plant design, the inside plant design, what type of electronics would be needed, and a full financial pro forma, the capital cost to build, the operational costs to operate an organization that provided this type of service year after year. And this slide, I can come back to it, just talks about some of the benefits, you know, of the counties working together in a municipal organization, you know, owning and operating the infrastructure. But Fujitsu, what they did, one of the first things they needed to do was intensive data collection and identify in each of the five counties where these unserved, underserved addresses are. And again, the definition was any address that did not have 100 meg service to it. And in Steuben County, you can see the red box, the three green lines identify roughly 7,800 addresses that did not have 100 meg service to them. And, you know, that was, again, a very comprehensive process that Fujitsu employed. And they found that in Steuben County, roughly 85% of the population has one or more providers offering 100 meg, and roughly 15% of the county did not have that type of service available to it. And a quick summary. So this study started in March, right when COVID hit us. We did have some delays because, you know, some of the meetings and the data collection and the people were stalled in terms of, you know, the COVID situation. And the delivery, it went through the end of October. So it was a lengthy process, a lengthy study. And you can see across the five counties identified 13,640 addresses that are unserved, underserved. And there were, when we look at the five counties and where these addresses are, there were many islands of low density population, which leads to this number here, 2,300 miles of new fiber constructed to address building a long-term solution for internet services to these households. And the business model we talked about, STN today, we are an open access middle mile network provider. And that means we, STN, do not provide any services other than the fiber. We provide multi-count fiber to any carrier service provider or any business that wants to lease our fiber. And the counties, Fujitsu presented two different business models. The counties and the STN board agreed that going forward with a fiber to the home infrastructure build, that we would want that to also be an open access business model, so that the municipality, the STN organization would own and operate the backbone, the fiber to the home infrastructure. But we would contract with and lease that to service providers. And the hope would be that we would have more than one service provider to use this open access network to induce competition and high quality services. The capital cost to build the 2,300 plus miles, between $160 to $172 million. Annual operating cost, $3.5 to $4 million to operate once built. And the revenue projections are based on subscription rates. And across the country, Fujitsu has a good idea of the different types of networks that are built and what the subscription rates are. And, you know, in the model, the pro forma financial model they used, we're looking at a 50% to 70% take rate. And when you do that math, the cost to bring in enough revenue to sustain the operation, we would need to charge between $58 and $74 per month for an internet service. And the other recommendation from the study was, because it's such a massive network to build out in a five county, then the recommendation was to build in phases and to identify, you know, the most optimal phase to start with, where, you know, we'd have the best chance of success using the electronics and using the existing STN backbone fiber, reducing the costs to get enough addresses in phase one to be sustainable. And again, you know, this process was exhaustive, and they came up with 11 zones. And you can see here all of the addresses, the number of homes per mile, the total miles in each zone. And they went through a mathematical process to identify the recommended minimal viable network. That's the MVN. But phase one, the recommendation to the counties and the board was to build zones 1, 2, 3, and 9, 10, 11. Yes,
Jeff. Steve, just real quick, could you put that in slideshow mode? A slide like this is a little difficult to for the group to see.
Yes, I can. Sorry.
Thank you. No worries.
So this is the recommendation. This would be the most optimal for phase one to get started, ensuring the best chance of success long-term. And areas, zones 1, 2, and 3 are in Steuben County, and they're primarily north central Steuben County to northwestern Steuben County. And around Wheeler, Prattsburg, and then heading west towards Cahockton area. So the total cost for phase one, the construction cost would be $35 million, operational cost $1.4 million, and there's 3,744 addresses. And I forgot to say that zones 9, 10, and 11, they were in Yates County. So the adjoining Steuben and Yates made most sense to include them. And the other factor that the coalition looked at, we had grant funding in Yates County, a USDA grant that they were awarded, and we had submitted a USDA grant for Steuben, Schuyler, and Chemung County. So we're looking at those grant sources as helping to fund these builds. But you could see the metrics here for the phase one. And this slide here just identifies and it zeroes in on the Steuben County zones 1, 2, and 3. And they looked at doing two different scenarios. Zones 1, 2, and 3 were most optimal in Steuben County. $20 million build, 2,059 addresses, $81 a month to sustain the annual operational costs. And you could see over here are the addresses and total mileage. So that's a quick summary overview of the feasibility study and where we're at right now. As I mentioned, the USDA application that STN submitted on behalf of Steuben, Schuyler, and Chemung County. And that you may recall the presentation that Tony and I did with Jack in the summer and a quick update on that ReConnect grant. Their criteria with the USDA is you could only apply for USDA funding to addresses that had less than 10 meg internet service, 10 meg down, 1 meg up. And their criteria, we could not overbuild, which is typically the case with any grant funding source. They don't want to fund for an overbuild. We did apply for a $25 million grant. And in late November, we had official word from USDA that they rejected our grant, which was very unfortunate. We've had a number of conversations and we have another meeting with them this Friday to get a better understanding of the reasoning and rationale for rejecting it. We need to look at the marketplace to go forward, look at the marketplace and some of the changes that are happening with this landscape in terms of the residents that do not have a quality internet service, and consider applying for a USDA ReConnect Round 3 grant that we'll find out Friday if they are going to offer a Round 3 grant. But this slide here just gives you a quick recap of the ReConnect grant that we submitted for the three counties. And specific to Steuben County, you had 2,800 addresses that we were going to build fiber to, 401 miles. And the cost in Steuben County to do this was $20 million. And these are the funding areas in Steuben County of that $20 million. The $20 million, you can see these were the funding areas that we submitted in the USDA grant application. Caton in the Hornby area, then over here in the western Bradford area, and Wheeler, Prattsburg, Cahockton, Dansville areas. And the Fujitsu study identified these same areas, but a larger region of these areas, because they didn't have the limited criteria of only 10 meg service. Primarily, though, those are the areas in Steuben County that are underserved. Any questions? I'm gonna roll into where we're at now, some of the other providers and carriers in the region. We know we've had a number of conversations. Spectrum. I'm getting feedback. You guys hear the same?
Not on this side.
So we have a number of conversations with Spectrum, and we know that they have built out to roughly 1,900 addresses in Steuben County. And they're about 100% done with that. And I can show you. And Jack and folks from the county, Spectrum, under a non-disclosure agreement, provided detailed information to of where these are. But we know, I'll show you quickly, in Wheeler, New York, for example, Spectrum, where we identified this in the USDA grant and in the Fujitsu grant as an area of unserved, underserved, Spectrum did build out to many addresses with fiber to the home. And the other thing that occurred, the FCC, there is, they set aside $20 billion for Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. And over the past 9 months, they've been through the application process, a very complex application process. Carriers and service providers applied for the $20 billion, and in early December, FCC awarded $9 billion of the $20 billion. And in New York State, they awarded to these 10 companies, Armstrong, Frontier, and SpaceX, which offers a low Earth orbit satellite alternative. So these 10 companies, those three were awarded funding for Steuben County. And these purple highlights show in our entire region, RDOF award winners. And this is a very busy map. I know it's not the easiest to see, but this is Steuben County. And the red line is the STN backbone, where the STN back current fiber goes. And this is Frontier. So the RDOF award awarded Frontier Communications these areas up here to build fiber to the home, and these areas over here to build fiber to the home, and Armstrong, they're extending the network that Armstrong received funding to build from New York State. They're extending that network into these areas in the southwestern portion of Steuben County. And then SpaceX with their Starlink, they were awarded some of these smaller rural areas with their unproven satellite service that will be available sometime mid to late 2021 to residents. So that's a real quick verbal update of where we're at and what we've done and next steps, working with the county and the STN board to look at this marketplace. And maybe we need to do another assessment of, okay, now how many addresses are not served with a quality internet service, and how do we go forward? That's all I have in terms of the slide deck. Open for any questions, comments. Jack, did I leave something out from all the work we prosecuted over the past 10 months?
No, Steve, I think you hit it. I mean, you know, we know that Spectrum in the areas that they're building are just extending their networks. You know, they're not really building into brand new areas. They're just going off from where they really are existing. You know, not getting the USDA grant was difficult, but, you know, we're keeping our eye open. And as you mentioned, Steve and Chelsea from STC have had a number of conversations with USDA to talk about, you know, a future application. And they say it's not uncommon that the first award or first proposal is not awarded, and, you know, they view it, the second one, you know, a little stronger. You know, we had some contention with the way that they made the decision, but it is what it is. But the long story short is it shows you that, you know, without a massive change in the marketplace, it really relies upon federal or state funding to get these projects done, because the CapEx is just tremendous.
One question I had was just running a quick analysis of the two projects. The Fujitsu project at $165 million was going to be about $71,000 a mile. the USDA grant application came out to about $47,000 a mile. So what is the significant difference between those two?
A couple things. One, the expanded territory for the five counties, and in Tioga County, for example, there were some areas that we had to build up into the northeastern portion of the county. So many miles of build for a few residents. The other difference is Fujitsu, they used more of their national pricing, and the experience that we had with our USDA application, we used a more local regional pricing for the construction costs that we've experienced and talking with some of our partners like Empire. So those are, you know, two of the reasons.
I think you'd see in practice the CapEx would be more along the 40 to 45 like we've seen here all along, and we've been very comfortable within that. The other thing, I mean, to Fujitsu's credit, when you look at their overall numbers, they are inflated. Part of their guarantee when they pitch this to us is, you know, our projections, the CapEx won't be, I forgot what the percentage was, Steve, but it won't be above this. So say you had all the money in the world, they guaranteed that their CapEx were, that you wouldn't exceed that. So they erred well on the side of caution with that.
I just have one question concerning the grant money that was originally awarded, $3 some million. Was that used to cover the cost of this study?
No.
That was for the diversity build. So that was for the build, and STN and STC were the ones that leveraged that. The county, I think we wrote a letter of support, but we weren't involved in that. So that was for the build.
And what did this study actually cost us?
I think our share was 42-ish, I think, Steve.
Yes,
I believe.
STN STN contributed roughly $200,000 to the five county study.
No, Steve, there was a question from Carol. I haven't heard the timing of the next application of the USDA grant of you.
No, I have not. Hopefully we'll get more information Friday.
And the other thing is, I haven't seen the details of the new stimulus package in the last package, that RDOF funding that Steve mentioned, that Armstrong and SpaceX was awarded, was in the CARES Act. So they're very well maybe, you know, especially because they focused on the broadband issues for remote students. I wouldn't be surprised if there's tens of millions of dollars, if not more, in that big package, if it's actually approved for something like this, which would, you know, be another potential source for application.
How is the internet service, the 100 Mbps you were talking about, how exactly is that measured, and what is the average service that's provided via satellite? Is that really 100, that 100 measurement that you're talking about?
Well, we have, once Starlink becomes available in our latitude, which again would be what they're saying is mid 21 to late 21, that their satellite constellations are roughly 350 miles up in space, and HughesNet is an existing satellite provider. Their satellites are 30,000 miles up in space. The latency and the reliability of HughesNet is not good. And if anyone has used them, you would testify, because that would be your experience. They're saying with SpaceX new technology, the beta testers that have been using this are getting over 100 meg down and 30 to 40 meg service up. And the latency is less than 20 milliseconds, which is pretty good.
If Steve and I have had conversations, if SpaceX really becomes viable in our area, that's a game changer and may take all of these equations of a build out, because with that speed, most of us, even in, you know, village or city areas aren't getting 100. To your first question, how is that data collected or reported? It's really self-reported, and the state collects that either through the state or the FCC. And we know, you know, being a Time Warner customer, I know I'm not getting 100, even though they're reporting that I'm getting 100. So we know that it fluctuates.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and I am living the dream of the HughesNet. And the service was incredibly expensive and it was terrible. So basically I've shut it off because I can't see spending $100 a month for service that is intermittent and terrible. So I'm super excited about building and expanding, but also super disappointed that it's not where I am.
There were a couple areas that were pretty close. I don't know where on the road, but some of that build does go, you know, town of Bath kind of up into the hills.
Sure. I think Scott identified my zone properly as 199. Well, because Spectrum is at the end of my road, which is within a mile and a half. And so I believe you said that they could report that they provide service there when technically I cannot hook onto their service at all.
You would still be considered unserved, but you might be in their catchment network, which is why the way that the state has classified their awards is just crazy.
Yes. So I can't imagine the people that live further out in the country than I do and their frustration level, because even where I am, as close as I am to a main road, and there are houses on that road that you can't get the service.
Yeah.
The only other question I had, what exactly the take rate? You said 50%. Is that 50% of the addresses signing onto the service?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And Fujitsu provided, and when I send it, you'll see it, a number of different scenarios. They think that those, you know, out there that, you know, have no choice, the take rate would be much higher because it's a choice. And, you know, at between $50 and $100, it's, you know, still a reasonable cost if you're getting 100 meg. So, you know, they're more optimistic, but obviously we want to take the conservative approach that, you know, because if we somehow are all awarded this money and you folks are willing to put up a local share and we build it, we don't want to be too optimistic and then we can't meet the operational expenses that STN is going to have.
Agreed. Thank you.
So if there's no further questions, all right, we'll end the presentation. Mr. Manning, thank you.
Thank you all. Have a good day.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
One order of business left. Executive session pursuant to public officers law. Kind of a motion.
Yeah, we actually have three items. Collective bargaining. I guess they collective bargaining and
105F. And I'm unaware of the third one.
It goes along with
200.
Yeah.
All right.
So do I hear a motion, please?
I move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion. So move.
Meeting's adjourned.
Take a pick. Anyone.
Yeah.
Don't start. I need a break.